And a pleasant good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture from the Meridian Manufacturing Studios. On this Monday, as we kick off, well, what's the beginning of the holiday week? Of course, Good Friday on Friday and Easter on Sunday. We hope you get a chance to spend time with family and friends and mark this specific great holiday. And, of course, religious one at that. Anyway, what's going on inside agriculture? Well, Secretary Tom Vilsack is hopeful that senators can find a compromise on GMO labeling. His comments follow the Senate's failure to invoke cloture on a voluntary GMO labeling bill last Wednesday. The Senate voted 48-49 during the procedural vote needed to prevent a filibuster. Vilsack says the Senate needs to find middle ground on that issue.
And I'm hopeful that there is now an understanding of the need for creative compromise to get something done before the Vermont law goes into effect. And I'm going to remain hopeful that folks in the Senate will be able to do that. We're prepared to provide them with whatever technical assistance they need, and I'm hopeful that they eventually get to a place where 60 votes are cast in favor of something as opposed to being opposed to things.
Vilsack has supported a smart label system that makes labeling mandatory through labels that direct consumers to more information online or by calling 800 numbers. The debate over GMO labeling is expected to heat up again following the Senate's two-week Easter recess. And, of course, they're in that at the present time. Also, we're going to talk about President Obama's historic trip, which started yesterday in Cuba. We're going to be back and talk about that before we take the break. Also, we're looking at a situation where trade agriculture groups, they're asking for port labor talks to start early. And, of course, the port labor disputes usually take a lot away from exports for our country. And, of course, 2019 is when that's up, kind of about the same time the Farm Bill is. Anyway, we're going to come back and talk about that as well. And also, a cheaper U.S. beef could slow Asian demand for our Australian meat. That's all part of what we're talking about inside agriculture. You're listening to it, 910 Classic Country, KCJB in Minot, Ag News 890 and Thunder 106.1 in Lisbon and Fargo. From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture. Well, as we mentioned before we took the break, President Obama's historic visit to Cuba this week will help improve the U.S.-Cuba business climate, but not yet for agriculture. That according to the American Farm Bureau. Farm Bureau trade advisor Dave Salmonson says Obama's Cuba visit, the first by a sitting U.S. president since Calvin Coolidge in 1928, is a big symbol for improving trade with Cuba. He says the bigger issue, though, is with Congress.
The issues, of course, that inhibit full agricultural trade with Cuba are tied up with the embargo, with the lack of having direct financing, banking relationships, some of which is attempting to be addressed by some regulations, but really can't open fully until the embargo is gone.
The White House recently eased banking rules for Cuba, allowing transactions involving U.S. banks, but only through third country banks.
But within the embargo, which covers direct relationships of banks, which really is fundamental to have direct letters of credit, which is what trade financing is all about, and is necessary to really for a long-term price competitive footing for selling our products into Cuba, that really is tied up with the embargo.
Now, he says the president's visit sets the tone by improving people-to-people contact, opening the door for more travel and U.S. investment in Cuba.
I think with the trip showing there's a several members of Congress going, cabinet secretaries, including Agriculture Secretary Vilsack, I think that's all pointing to the fact that there is a potential here for U.S. Businesses of all kind, including agriculture, to do more with Cuba.
The Treasury Department years ago lifted cash in advance restriction on agriculture sales to Cuba, and ag equipment, seeds, and food processing are now exempt from financing restrictions. However, Congress is mired in election year politics, with Cuban-American lawmakers, including GOP presidential candidate Ted Cruz and former candidate Marco Rubio, opposing the Cuba visit and lifting of the embargo. Bipartisan bills that lift the embargo have gone nowhere thus far. Salmonson says the president's trip this week keeps the embargo front and center, as Farm Bureau and other agriculture groups continue their long campaign to fully normalize U.S.-Cuban relations. Well, also, a coalition of trade associations wants the International Longshore and Warehouse Union and the Pacific Maritime Association to start contract discussions early. The National Pork Producers Council joined the coalition in a letter urging them to begin early negotiations on a contract extension or a new contract covering operations at West Coast shipping ports. Those groups, which represent dock workers and the companies that own West Coast port authorities or facilities in 2014 and into 2015, were involved in labor talks and a work slowdown that negatively affected U.S. exporters. The five-year contract extension signed last year expires in 2019. The 113 organizations representing trade and agribusiness groups are asking the parties to conclude labor talks before the expiration of the current contract. The letter says the discussions need to be continuous to avoid actions that would slow, stop, or disrupt cargo investment during negotiations. Also, consumers in Asia are set to buy more U.S. beef as demand moves away from more expensive meats from Australia. The U.S. Meat Export Federation told Bloomberg News that Japan will likely be the region's fastest-growing market for U.S. meat this year. Japan is Asia's largest beef importer, and USMEF predicts a 9% increase in U.S. exports to Japan. The Federation also expects sales to South Korea and Taiwan to expand this year, as the U.S. has more supplies and prices are coming down while there's less Australian product on the market, driving their prices up. Australia's beef exports are set to drop near 9% for the year starting July 1st, as herd rebuilding reduces cattle and calf slaughter. Well, there's only one certainty in the beef cattle market. Change is just around the corner. And the current market cycle has left many producers wondering how they can add value and command more dollars for their calves. Larry Cora with Certified Angus Beef says it centers on three drivers: growth, health, and grade.
The three big areas that we add value to cattle, they have to have the ability to grow once they hit that feedlot, or even before they hit the feedlot on the cow, the ability to grow. They have to be healthy. Health is such a huge economic importance in the industry today. And finally, they have to create a quality eating experience for the consumer, because we need to keep in mind that the people that really drive this industry ultimately is that beef consumer.
And today's consumers demanding high-quality beef product. Those decisions at the meat case send price signals back to the farm or ranch.
And certainly quality grade and hitting a quality target is very important. Starting to create an added $50 on these calves at weaning time, or ultimately when they come out of the feedlot, maybe as much as $80 to $100, $120. So it's really this high quality part that the consuming public is demanding. That has been increasing in the last 5 to 8 years. I think it'll continue to increase, and that's the opportunity for the cattle industry to add value.
You can visit www.cabpartners.com if you want to learn more about hitting the high quality beef target in your cow herd. Also, the National Pork Board sponsored a unique forum on antibiotic resistance in Washington, D.C. last Wednesday. Now, this event was organized by Atlantic Live. National Pork Board Chief Operating Officer John Johnson said it was important to demonstrate that antibiotics are critically important to treat and prevent disease in people and pigs. Johnson emphasized the U.S. pork industry is committed to responsible antibiotic use.
We've embraced guidance 29213, and we're trying to get all our producer community ready for that increased veterinarian oversight, making sure everybody's got that vet-patient-client relationship established so that when this veterinarian feed directive kicks in and the requirements that, you know, you can only use these medically important antibiotics now with the oversight of a veterinarian who's going to write a script or a veterinary feed directive if it's in feed or a prescription if it's in water. And we're going to have a more targeted and more careful use of these antibiotics going forward. And we want all of our producers to be ready for those changes that kick in on January 1, 2017.
Johnson says the Washington, D.C. event featured a very constructive dialogue on this important topic.
There wasn't any finger-pointing. There was a recognition that antibiotic resistance is a serious challenge for all of us, and we all need to do our part. We all want to keep these tools working and effective, both in livestock as well as in human medicine. And we're all willing to demonstrate what we're going to do to preserve the efficacy and how we're going to be good stewards. So there's a good dialogue. There's a need for better data. That was acknowledged by everyone. We're working on that as well at Pork Board, trying to come up with some models and metrics to monitor and track use in swine industry. We don't have good data today. All we have is some gross sales data, which isn't accurate. It's not by species. And other challenges with it as well. So we do need better data, and that was highlighted and something we're all committed to work towards. But it was a good collaborative discussion, and again, a general recognition that we're all in this together, and so we all need to do our best to be good stewards of antibiotics.
In addition to the National Pork Board, the event featured experts from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the American Public Health Association, the American Academy of Family Physicians, the American Veterinary Medical Association, and representatives from throughout the food chain. Well, as we wrap up what's going on inside agriculture from the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, the CME Group proposed $1.50 discount on live cattle delivered in Worthing, South Dakota, has upset many producers. They say it's unfair and would result in an average discount of $21 on a 1,400-pound steer. The CME Group Managing Director of Commodity Research and Product Development, Dave Lehman, says the discount will only be applied in October, and it's not intended to be disparaging to cattle production in the region.
So we are in no way trying to penalize that delivery point. You know, it's a very well-functioning facility for us, and we are in no way trying to penalize the producers in that region. We are simply proposing this seasonal discount to better align the convergence and pricing of the contract across our entire, you know, the entire delivery area.
He says they aren't targeting this delivery point. They're looking at Worthing for the change because historically a majority of the deliveries against the live cattle contract have been at the northernmost location.
In October of last year, we had a total of about 6,500 cattle delivered against our contract, against the futures contract. The majority of those were at Worthing, and that's something we've seen historically since Worthing was added in 2009, that it does account for a little more than 50% of our total deliveries. And then in October, it's up 65% to 70% of our deliveries.
And Lehman says the heavy deliveries in Worthing during October have a depressing effect on the cattle market throughout the country, and so they're just trying to get the price back on target.
On average, over that 10-year period, the cash price in October is $1.50 lower than the cash price range in the rest of the delivery territory. The rest of the year, the Iowa, Minnesota price tracks right along with the remainder. But in the fall, there's this seasonality effect.
He says they welcome producer input and have extended the comment period through April 4th. That's Inside Agriculture. I'm Farm Director Terry Lumitz.